Amen. Praise God. Who knows, extreme sports is a big deal these days. As people chase after thrills and spills and all of these things. But who knows that there's nothing more extreme than living for God. Maybe that they're just trying to fill that void that should be filled with living on the edge, living as a kingdom, son and daughter of the Most High God. Amen. Hallelujah. Never get nothing more exciting than that. You'll get nothing more extreme than that. And last week we began to look at some characteristics of the extreme believer or the extreme Christian. Hallelujah. In Romans 12:11 it says that we should be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent means fiery hot, full of burning zeal. It's the opposite, I love this, it's the opposite of dignified, cold and unemotional. Amen. We should be extreme in our worship. The Father is seeking worshippers. He doesn't want dignified, cold and unemotional worshippers. Amen. He's looking for those. God, who gave you emotions? Since when did emotions become bad? Everything God created, he said, was good. And it was God who gave us emotions. So he said, emotions are good. I mean, I mean, many times I heard over the years, you know, these people, these Pentecostals are just so emotional. Well, we need to be more emotional. David said, I'll become even more undignified than this. It's the opposite of dignified and cold and unemotional. To be extreme means to be outermost or the furthest, being in or attaining the greatest or highest degree. I said, that's not to do with the Masons. Extending far beyond the norm. Come on, radical. The greatest or utmost degree or point. We need to be living out there on the edge. Glory to God. Amen. I heard you were just living out there on the edge of what God's doing, living on the cutting edge of what God's doing. You wouldn't need to jump out of planes and ski over off the top of mountains and stuff like that. I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. If that's what you're into, go for it. You know what I'm saying? Don't tempt the Lord thy God, though. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. But a lot of the excitement that people are looking for is because they're missing the excitement that God planned and destined them to experience every single day. Glory to God. Now last week we looked at the first characteristic, which was excellence. We're not talking there about perfectionism or trying to be idealistic or idealism. We're not looking at these things are of the flesh. But there's a spirit of excellence. Amen. There's a spirit of excellence. It's that degree of excellence that we pursue. We saw that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 it talks about excellence. And it talks about the excellence of the power. And that word there for excellence means a throwing beyond. Glory to God. God wants to, in your workplace, he wants you to have that spirit of excellence. As I said, you have to be somewhere. Daniel was noticed in Babylon, in a pagan land, in an incredibly pagan land. But he was noticed. It was noticed that he had an excellent spirit in him. You have to be there to be noticed. But we must always pursue that excellence. Glory to God. Because that's of God. Amen. It takes you beyond what other people are doing. It gives you wisdom beyond what other people have. You become the great problem solver. You become the one that doesn't need to be supervised all the time. You become the one that they recognize whether the supervisor's around or not. You will be going beyond what you're expected to do. Because you have that commitment to excellence. In the New Covenant, it talks about doing everything as unto the Lord. That comes out of that spirit of excellence. Glory to God. We spoke about that last week, but in fact, we did a few rabbit trails last week, so we're trying to move forward a wee bit more this week. Amen. Nothing wrong with rabbit trails as long as you catch a rabbit at the end of it. Amen. Don't go home hungry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, second characteristic of the extreme Christian is that they are transparent. They are transparent. That means that to have thoughts or feelings or motives that are easily perceived, discerned, recognized, and understood. Well, we already saw last time that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, it's all about him and not about us. But we know that that's a kind of reciprocal thing, because when we're saying it's all about you, he's saying, yeah, and this is all about you. That's how marriage works. Sarah and Ian are walking down the aisle in a few days' time. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. And from then on, they're single. They can't live like a single person anymore. The days of singlehood are over. Come on, there'll be a lot of lessons to be learned. You don't learn it all overnight, we know that. 27 years down the road, I'm still learning some things about Katrina. I don't expect to ever have her sussed out, but anyway, completely. But from now on, you've got to think about the other person. Marriage is about Ian looking at Sarah and saying, Sarah, it's all about you. Now, she just goes, whoa, yeah, lay it on me, bro. No, she turns to him and says, yes, Ian, and it's all about you. Glory to God. But that's important that you catch that. And that's why God gives us that picture of the relationship with him, and he uses that analogy of marriage to try and explain that to us. But he says, when we say it's all about you, he's also saying, yeah, it's all about you. Everything that he did at the cross was all about you. And we respond to that love that he demonstrated at the cross by looking up and saying, yes, Lord, this is all about you. And that doesn't sound very religious, but it still sounds good to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's all about you, Jesus. I remember a few years ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know, sometimes things are so slick and polished in the church that you can see your face or your own face in them. In other words, there's more of you than there is of Jesus. And sometimes it can become, it's all about me, Jesus. Amen. We're not here to put on a show that makes us look good. We're here to put on a show that makes him look good. Who knows what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Come on. And that's back to that spirit of excellence. It's all about, we want to be excellent in all that we do because it makes him look good. You know, some people get married, they let themselves go. You know that phrase, oh, she got married and she just let herself go, you know. She was a size 8 getting married before you knew she was up there. Come on. Or that guy, Ben, before he got married, he was always spick and span, but then after he got married, man, he just got so sloppy and... Come on. That's a bad attitude. You've got to maintain, because you want to look better. Katrina looks better now than when I married her, bless God, hallelujah. She's always improving, amen. She improves with age, like a fine wine. Seriously. I mean, I think, my goodness, man, you're even better looking now than when I married you. Hallelujah. Come on. I don't know if I can say the same about myself, but... But if she hasn't got her contacts in, I guess I probably do. Sometimes she looks at me that kind of way, I think she obviously doesn't have her contacts in. You know? Hallelujah. But the extreme Christian is transparent. In Galatians 2:20 it says, I have been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see through me and you see him. That's what it's meant to be. Glory to God. Amen. Because ultimately people don't really need what I can do for them or what you can do for them. Because that might help them a little bit, but really they need what the Lord can do for them. Because he's able to do way beyond what we can do. And so it's so important that we don't live our lives showing off who we are, but showing off who he is. Not talking about everything that we've done, but talking about everything that he has done. Amen? That's why I always say, nobody needs to hear your testimony. He says, keep my testimonies. It's not your testimony they need. Well, you know, I'm kind of playing with words a little bit. You need to hear your testimony of what he has done. But it's his testimony. Because it's what he did. I mean, sometimes testimonies have consisted of everything that we did, all the bad things we did. You know, we thought, well, that was a great testimony, meaning he did lots of bad things. And, well, thank God at the end of it, you know, he got saved. But really, the most powerful testimonies, the ones that have an impact and an effect and and can be repeated in someone's life. Because I've heard of people listening to testimonies and using that as a license to go out and do the same things. Because they thought, well, he got saved at the end of it, so I can too. Some young people grew up in church listening to that kind of testimony, and all it did was, rather than it stopping them going out and doing it, it just gave them a license to go and do the same things. Because granny prayed for him, so granny's praying for me, so I'll be all right too. Come on. I went out and I did this and I did that and I did the next thing and I have all every kind of awful thing you can imagine, but my granny was praying for me. And so, praise God, he heard her prayers and here I am. So that kid's sitting there going, I've got granny praying for me. So off they go. But that's not a safe place. Come on. That's not a safe place. There's only one safe place, and that's walking in the fullness of everything that he's provided every single day. Glory to God. The most powerful testimony, as I've said before, is that youngster who grew up in the church, grew up and believed in God and never left that path. Amen. And they're the people that say, I don't have a testimony. You've got the most powerful testimony that exists. Hallelujah. Can anybody say amen? You've got the most powerful testimony that anybody could ever hear, because your testimony is his testimony. He didn't just save you, he kept you. I just, come on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Was that a rabbit trail? Was that okay? You see, in the life of the extreme Christian, it's easy to see where the excellence of the power comes from. It's easy to see the life and the character of Jesus in that person. Let's, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Another thing about being transparent as well that I feel important to mention is that the transparent person has nothing to hide, good or bad. Do you know what I'm saying? People have said to me over the years, you shouldn't be telling people all your mistakes. I said, well, I'd rather I told them than they found out. You know what I'm saying? It's better that I tell them before they find out than them find out and then think I've been trying to hide it. I made lots of mistakes. I'm not proud of that fact, but I have to tell you, I have made a lot of mistakes. Some of them have been big mistakes. But I've always felt the need to come and say, look, I was wrong there. If you can't admit that you're wrong, you've got a major problem. Because our God never makes mistakes. Our Father never makes mistakes, but you and I do. And sometimes we mishear him. Sometimes we don't follow his direction properly. Sometimes we don't follow his direction at all. And that's always a mistake. He never makes mistakes, but we make a lot of mistakes. And one of the things about being transparent is that you recognize that you make mistakes and you're willing to acknowledge them. Not try and cover them up. Who knows that one lie always leads to another lie? And always leads to another lie. And then you get totally confused. You know that if you never lie, you never have to be, you don't have to have a good memory. You never have to remember what you said to try and, because you'll always just speak the truth. The Father is seeking worshippers in spirit and in truth. Where did I say we were going? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. And verse 8 it says, therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That word there literally means judged by sunlight. The word for sincerity, it means, it's a word that was used in Oriental bazaars where pottery was displayed in dimly lit rooms, and unscrupulous merchants would patch cracked pottery or cover defects with wax. But someone who came in to buy one of these pots, he would lift it up to the sunlight. And that was the way he would judge its quality, to see if there was any cracks there that had been covered up. So this word means transparent honesty, genuine purity, manifested clarity, and unsullied innocence. It describes one who does not fear thorough examination of his motives and intents because he has nothing to hide. Amen. The extreme Christian is transparent. He's not afraid for someone to come and examine him because he has nothing to hide. He's not afraid to admit his mistakes. He's not even afraid to admit that there might be some defects because he's not trying to hide these things. Glory to God. Amen. If you spend your life trying to cover up and hide all of your problems and your defects and even allow, and some people use God for that, you know. We're not here to hide behind him. We're here to live in him.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yes, there is a hiding place that's living in him. Where you're hidden and he's seen. His glory is seen. Come on. Hallelujah. devil wants to come out and mess with his glory, then he's the one with the problem. He knows what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says this, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price." As I said, this young couple's getting married, and they need to know they're no longer their own. As I said, that life of independence is over. Hallelujah. "For you were bought at a price," he says. "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit." Make excellence your goal. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are goals. Hallelujah. Hey, if he's given us his spirit, then he's expecting us to give him our spirit. Hallelujah. Those the Bible says that we are joined to the Lord and we become one spirit with him. Hallelujah. So that the first characteristic of the extreme Christian is that commitment to excellence. The second, but see, we're moving on tonight, amen. Unless you want to quit there, of course. The second characteristic is that they are transparent. The third characteristic of the extreme believer, the extreme Christian, is that they are radical. Say radical.
Radical.
Oh, hallelujah. Radical means arising from or going to a root or to a source. Who knows that the Holy Spirit is our life source? Amen. We need to live in complete dependence upon the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who connects us with heaven. He's the one who connects us with our Heavenly Father. He's the one who connects us with the resources and the provision of heaven. We keep going back to that source. We keep going back to that source. Hallelujah. It means we arise out of that source. That's why it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Hallelujah. It means affecting the basis of something. It means fundamental in its effect. It means advocating or intended to effect fundamental. I love this. Intended to effect fundamental or thoroughgoing changes, especially of economic and political structures. One who advocates profound political, social, or other change. That's what we are here to do. We are that leaven that comes to leaven the lump with righteousness.
Yeah.
Come on. We're here to bring the influence of heaven and the influence of the kingdom of heaven into every sphere of life. As I said this morning, Jesus said, as you go where? As you go wherever you go. As you go to work, as you go to school, as you go to play, wherever you go, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Help has arrived. Supernatural help, healing, deliverance, cleansing, resurrection power has just arrived on your doorstep. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember, we looked at the radical Christian before. He's righteous, he's anointed, he's diligent, he's immovable, he's creative, he's armored, and he's led by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So the extreme Christian, the extreme believer, is one who believes that the will of God can be done on earth as it is in heaven. That everything that's available in heaven can be available on the earth. According to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is." Jesus shouldn't have said we to pray that way if that can't happen. If everything in heaven cannot be made available in the earth, then we should not have been told to pray like that. The extreme believer is one who believes that the will of God can be done on earth as it is in heaven, just as it is in heaven, effecting fundamental and thoroughgoing change in every area of life. Who knows, when heaven shows up on the earth, there's going to be effective, fundamental, and thoroughgoing change. So they were going real fast tonight. The fourth characteristic of the extreme believer, the extreme Christian, is that he is or she is expectant. Hallelujah. They're pregnant with hope. Come on. When someone sees someone who's expecting, it always takes over the conversation. Come on. You meet normally a lady friend. Some of us might look as if we're expecting. Some of us males. But and And initially you see the bump. Come on. And it takes over the conversation, doesn't it? But we need to become pregnant with that expectancy. That hope. All of our words need to be so charged with hope that it takes over the conversation. A guy came the other day, he asked me a question, and I answered it. He said, you're always, what does he say again? You're always so upbeat about everything, aren't you? That's what he said. And I thought, praise God, he recognizes my words are charged with hope, with expectancy to see God, to see God's kingdom come. Hallelujah. Come on, from then on, the conversation was just all about him. Not a fellow, about the Lord. Come on. Then I could brag on God a little bit. In Isaiah 40:31 in the Amplified Bible, it says this, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, say who expect, who look for and who hope in him shall change and renew their strength and power. We sang it just a few minutes ago. Luke was in the Spirit again. Hallelujah. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. They shall mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Hallelujah. Come on. That's a supernatural expectancy. In the natural, when women are expecting, they get weary and tired. That's a supernatural expectancy. The extreme Christian, the extreme believer always expects a move of God in every situation. Yeah. Expects God to come and move in every situation. Because they believe, and this is so important, they believe that God is interested in people's lives. They believe that because he's interested in people's lives, that he's made provision for people's lives. That he wants to get involved in every area of our lives. Not just our church life, but every area of our lives. God is interested in that. And he's made provision for that. Why do we leave him out of so many things? Because we lack that expectancy. Because we're not as extreme as we should be. You start talking like that and people think, well, he's a bit extreme. The extreme believer, his high level of faith and expectancy keeps him in close fellowship and relationship with the Lord. He doesn't live down here, he lives up here. Come on, he doesn't live under, he lives over. The eagle goes where no other bird goes. When the storm blows in, the other birds find a place of shelter somewhere in a crack of a rock or something. Down on the ground, they try and find a place of shelter. The eagle flies above it. The eagle soars above it. Hallelujah. Come on. Glory to God. We don't live under, we live over. When the storms pass, we come down to see how everybody else going. Yeah. See how we can help. Because of where he lives, because of the place of relationship and fellowship that he lives in with the Lord, he's always fired up and ready to go. When the Lord says go, he goes. He doesn't have to say, well, excuse me, Lord, you'll have to give me a few weeks to get ready. No, he's ready. He's committed to a spirit of excellence. He's transparent, radical, expectant. Number five, the extreme or believer or the extreme Christian is very often misunderstood. That doesn't mean he's flaky. There's a lot of flaky people, you know. I said, one person one time said, there's more flake around here than there is in a Cadbury's factory. But if there was ever an extreme Christian, then Jesus was one, amen? And he was very often misunderstood. It says in John 8:48-52, it says, the Jews answered Jesus and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. That's a pretty extreme statement. Be easy to pass over that. He said, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews, when did the church just become a place that offers a funeral service? Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death." In John chapter 10, verse 20, many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad or insane. Why do you listen to him?" At one point, even his own family thought that, didn't he? Jesus said, "It's enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call those of his household?" What household are we a part of? The household of faith. Matthew chapter 10, verse 25. I'm not talking about being flaky. I'm not talking about leaving the word behind. I'm talking about just speaking what the word says. And not just speaking what the word says, but doing what the word says. And being like Paul said to Timothy, a good workman who's able to rightly divide the word of truth, to bring all of the word together. Not just pick out little bits, little favorite parts of scripture and then just spout them out. But no, getting before God. And Jesus was the word, every word. Amen? Glory to God. When he did something, it was the word doing it. When he said something, it was the word being given an expression. Who knows what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. In Acts 26, verse 24-25, it says, "As Paul made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad.' But he said, 'I am not mad or out of my mind, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason.'" So the extreme believer, the extreme Christian, will often be misunderstood by those who are maybe not so committed, maybe not so excited, not so fired up, and not so sold out. As he is, in fact, it was A.W. Tozer, I believe, said one time, a fanatic is somebody who loves Jesus more than you do, that's what that is. Thank you, Joe. Hallelujah. But the extreme Christian will often be misunderstood. Come on, he's committed to that spirit of excellence. That will cause him to be misunderstood sometimes. Even fellow co-workers will become jealous. You think that, look at that crawler. You're not a crawler. You're committed to a spirit of excellence. You're doing everything as unto the Lord. You're not doing it as unto the boss or the employer. You're doing it as unto the Lord. Well, the boss might notice, and God's favor will manifest through the boss, but it's not the boss's eye you're looking to catch. You're doing it as unto the Lord. The people who are committed to a spirit of excellence, they don't skive off. It's not when the cat's away, the mice will play. It's kind of rubbish. You know what I'm talking about? Mum, we've all been down that one, haven't we? Well, maybe we all haven't, but I know I have. Oh, you're home early from work today. Oh, yeah, the boss was away. Number 6. You happy? Hallelujah. Committed to a spirit of excellence causes them to be misunderstood. Transparent. Being transparent will cause you to be misunderstood. As I said, people used to say to me, because they say, "Don't have to go over all that again." You're like, hallelujah. God love you, sister. Transparency, name of the game, amen. See, when Katrina married me, she became instantly transparent because I tell everything on it. She was one of the most private people you ever met in your whole life, and God gave her to me. You want to define private? It's spelled C-A-T-R-I-O-N-E. Come on. But God said, "I'll just give her to Dorian, and she won't be private anymore. She'll become instantly transparent." Hallelujah. Extreme believer is radical. He's expecting. His words are charged with hope. He believes that God will move in every situation. Hallelujah. Come on. He comes from that place of fellowship and relationship with the Lord where he knows that God will follow through on his word because that's who he is. That's his nature. That's his character. Hallelujah. The Father promises and the Father fulfills his promises. That all of his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So sometimes he's misunderstood. But number 6. Last but not least. It sums everything all up. Glory to God. The sixth characteristic of the extreme believer or the extreme Christian is he is extremely blessed. He's extremely healed. When everybody else is sick, he's extremely healed. All these people say, nah, you can't believe it. No, God doesn't want to heal everybody. Well, I'll just be extremely healed. You're extreme. Yeah, and I'm extremely healed. God doesn't want to bless every God. What are you talking about? God's blessing. God never did that for me. Well, all I can tell you, folks, is I'm extremely blessed. That's extreme. Yeah, you know, extremely blessed. Extremely healed. Extremely free. I'm extremely prosperous. That prosperity, that's just extreme. Yeah, too right. And those who take a hold of it become extremely prosperous. Isaac, it says, he sowed that seed in the time of famine and he began to prosper and he continued to prosper until he became extremely prosperous. Or very prosperous, which just means extremely prosperous. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all, hey, come on, that's a bit extreme. Not all. That is within me, bless his holy name. Come on, don't tell me you don't live your whole life for God. That's extreme, yes, absolutely right. That is, it's really extreme. And that's why I'm extremely blessed, extremely healed, extremely free. Come on. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all. Well, there's that extremity again. His benefits, who forgives all. Come on, can't expect God to forgive that one of them. Forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all. No, he doesn't heal me. Well, he says he does. And my soul's blessing him because he does. He heals all our diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, that's crazy. You'd have to be a bit extreme to believe all that. That's exactly right, I am. Hallelujah. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Is everything within you blessing the Lord? Is everything within you blessing the Lord? Is there still a little bit of fear there? A little bit of, oh, I'm not sure about that? Or a little bit, I don't want to look too extreme? Or, oh, I don't know, I don't want people to pick on me. I don't want people to persecute me because of my faith stand. Well, Jesus said that's what happens then, is that people just dry up and the fruitfulness disappears out of their life. And the extreme blessing and healing and freedom and everything that he has for them in extreme measure is just lost to them. And that's sad and that's tragic because it's made available to everybody. So the extreme believer has a commitment to excellence, is transparent, he's radical, expectant, misunderstood, extremely blessed, healed, free and prosperous, and all of the other good stuff. Hallelujah. So let me just counsel you with this, admonish you with this as we finish this evening. Don't ever be afraid to be seen as extreme. Because it's a very common fear amongst believers. Because it's a common accusation against believers. Because if you will dare to be extreme, the end of that will always be good. You'll always be extremely blessed. You'll always end up extremely blessed. And not only that, but you will press on into the fullness of all of God's benefits. You will press into the fullness of all of the provision of the cross. You know, I said it this morning, you see, that the old covenant was about God and his people. The new covenant was about a father and his children. You know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus began at that point to allow the sins of the world to get between him and his Father. Do you know that where it ended up? On the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken? He couldn't say Father anymore at that point. That's how bad things have got. My God, why have you forsaken me? He allowed that to happen so that you could move forward from being one of God's people to be one of the Father's children. He took our place as one of God's people so that we could take his place, so we could inherit his place as a son of the Father and a daughter of... Come on, somebody shout. Hallelujah. I was just... Could you go on preaching the message for hours after you preach, you finish, you know what I'm saying? Some people said you went on for hours even before you finished. But anyway, hallelujah. And that just afternoon, I just rose up in my spirit again. I've had it before, but it just rose up there again. I just thought I'll just tag it on at the end tonight for good measure. Amen. All of you press into the fullness of all of the provision of the cross. And I'll tell you something else, you will be at the cutting edge of what God is doing in your generation. If you just dare to be extreme, you'll be at the cutting edge of what God is doing in your generation, and you will open up. Because you know what happens when you're at the cutting edge? You open up the way for other people to follow. Hallelujah. You're not just going around in a wilderness cycle with everybody else and dying. Come on, people just dropping like flies all around you. No, you're at the cutting edge, and what you're doing is you're opening up the way so that other people can follow. Don't ever be afraid to be extreme, because other people's experience of the extreme blessing of God depends on you being extreme. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your awesome people tonight. I thank you for your extreme blessing upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you're continually turning it up and turning it up as much as we can stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In all of their extremeness, I embrace them, Father. I choose tonight to be extreme. In Jesus' name. Will you do that tonight? Will you choose to be extreme? Glory to God. Will you choose to be extreme? Say, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But just say, I choose to be extreme. I choose to be extreme. I commit to being extreme. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.